देवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 74 टेक्स्ट नंबर 31 टिल 34। प्लीज रिसाइट। ईशो दुरत्यय काल इति सत्यवती श्रुति वृद्धानाम् अपि यद् बुद्धिर् बालवाक्येर्विभिद्यते। ईशो दुरत्यय काल इति सत्यवती श्रुति वृद्धानामपि यद् बुद्धिर् बालवाक्येर्विभिद्यते। ईशो दुरत्यय काल इति सत्यवती श्रुति वृद्धानामपि यद् बुद्धिर् बालवाक्येर्विभिद्यते। धनामपि यद् बुद्धिर् माताजी शहा द सुप्रीम कंट्रोलर दुरत्यय अनएवॉइडेबल काल टाइम इति दस सत्यवती ट्रुथफुल श्रुति द रिवील्ड स्टेटमेंट ऑफ द वेदास वृद्धानाम ऑफ एल्डर अथॉरिटीज अपि इवन यत सिंस बुद्धि द इंटेलिजेंस बाल ऑफ अ बॉय वाक्य बाय द वर्ड्स विभिद्यते इज डाइवर्टेड। शिशुपाल ट्रांसलेशन। Shishupal said, the statement of the Vedas that time is the unavoidable controller of all has indeed been proven true. Since the intelligence of wise elders has now become diverted by the words of a mere boy. Read text 32. Yuyam patra vidam shrestha mamandhvam bala bhashitam सन सदसस्पतय सर्वे कृष्णो यत् सम्मतोर्हने। ओ लीडर्स ऑफ द असेंबली यू नो बेस्ट हु इज अ फिट कैंडिडेट फॉर बीइंग ऑनर्ड देयरफॉर यू शुड नॉट हीड द वर्ड्स ऑफ अ चाइल्ड व्हेन ही क्लेम्स दैट कृष्णा डिजर्व्स टू बी वर्शिप्ड। text 33 and 34. Tapo vidya vrata dharan jnana vidvast kalmashan paramarshin brahmanishthan lokapala ishta pujitan sadaspati natikramme gopala kulapamsana yathakaka purodasham saparyam katham arhati. Translation: how can you pass over the most exalted members of this assembly, topmost sages dedicated to the absolute truth, endowed with powers of austerity, divine insight, and strict adherence to the severe vows, sanctified by knowledge, and worshipped even by the rulers of the universe? How does this cowherd boy, the disgrace of his family, deserve your worship any more than a crow deserves to eat the sacred Purudash rice cake? Or put by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The great commentator Sridhar Swami has analyzed Shishupal's words as follows. The term Gopal means not only cowherd, but also protector of the Vedas and the earth. Similarly, Kulapamsam has a double meaning. Shishupal intended it to mean the disgrace of his family, which is its meaning when divided as above, Kulapamsana. But the word may also be analyzed as ku lapam amsana, giving a totally different meaning. Ku lapam indicates those who prattle with crooked words contrary to the Vedas. And amsana, derived from the word amshayati, means destroyer. In other words, he was praising Lord Krishna as he who vanquishes all misguided and frivolous speculations about the nature of truth. Similarly, although Shishupal wanted to compare Lord Krishna to a crow with the words yatha kakah, these words may also be divided yatha a kakah. In that case, according to Srila Sridhar Swami, the word kaka is a combination of ka and aka, which indicates material happiness and misery. Thus, Lord Krishna is a kaka in the sense that he is beyond all material misery and happiness. Being on the pure transcendental platform, finally, Shishupal was right in saying the Lord Krishna does not deserve merely the Purudash rice cake offered to the lesser demigods as a substitute for the heavenly beverage Soma. In fact, Lord Krishna deserves to receive everything that we possess, since He is the ultimate proprietor of everything, including ourselves. Thus, we should give Lord Krishna our life and soul, not merely a ritualistic offering of rice cakes. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् परिजना सहितम् कृष्ण चैतन्य देवम् श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान् सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Seek blessings of all the assembled devotees. So we have reached this junction where after Lord Krishna has been offered the Agra Puja, then Shishupal, highly envious and very strategically timed his criticism, his blasphemy at such a time that the whole yajna should get spoiled. He is speaking this. In Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes in the preface one beautiful statement. He says, our loving propensity expands just as a vibration of light or air expands, but we do not know where it ends. Sometimes you see a powerful light source throws light into the sky. And it just expands. It doesn't go like a straight beam. It expands and covers the entire sky and expands more and more. So our loving propensity expands just as a vibration of light or air expands. Then Srila Prabhupada writes, the nectar of devotion teaches us the science of loving every one of the living entities perfectly by the easy method of loving Krishna. If we learn how to love Krishna, then it is very easy to immediately and simultaneously love every living being. So this is a beautiful section which comes in the preface where he mentions that how this, just like light expands, the air expands, our loving propensity expands. A living entity is not satisfied the more and more people we include in our loving propensity. Because we want to love every living being. So if a person has his parents, his wife, his children, husband, and with all that, still he is not satisfied. Although he has a family of full reciprocation and all the relatives and everyone. Because till that time, Sri Krishna is included in that propensity, you cannot have the experience of loving every living entity. And it's a matter of realization. If you want it, you experience it. But the problem is that every moment, this our desire, our practice to love Krishna, as this word is mentioned here, is diverted our intelligence is diverted again and again. There are many forces which are diverting our intelligence. As Shishupal says here, the intelligence of wise elders has now become diverted by the words of a mere boy. This is interesting. It's Shishupal's intelligence which is diverted. Shishupal cannot see what is a reality. But he is telling the other, he is telling the mere boy. And nobody was clear who should be offered Agra Puja, who should be respected as the best, as the chief of the assembly. And when Sahadev spoke, you know, Maharaj Yudhishthir did not speak. So this is a whole Rajasuya sacrifice going on. And before the sacrifice, who should be offered the first puja? And when Maharaj Yudhishthir announces this, nobody knows. Now Shri Krishna is present there, but nobody is opening his mouth. The truth is very clear, but nobody... So Prabhupada writes, you know, they are all Brahmanas. And he, in the purport, you know, the Prabhupada disciples explain somewhere. They're supposed to be Brahmanas who are absolutely educated and clear about the conclusion of the Vedic scriptures. But in spite of that, they are confused. Who is supposed to be offered? Shri Krishna is right there. This means they are just ritualistic Brahmanas. Not actually clear what is the ultimate goal of all the Vedic rites and rituals. And especially when it's Shishupal whose intelligence is diverted, he is telling, just see, wise elders, whose intelligence? Wise elders, who are supposed to be wise. So he doesn't understand, these people are wise, but their intelligence is diverted. Two things I was thinking based on this statement. One thing is, how a person whose intelligence is diverted, he easily makes judgment about others and sees everything based on, as we say, you are wearing red glasses, you see everything red. If your heart is full of fault finding, you see you are finding fault. If our heart is full of envy, we see everyone full of envy. If our heart is full of superficiality, we see another person's heart full of superficiality. Just last week, I will not name one of the devotees, I was having conversation in the Prasadam hall. And he made a very loving, innocent remark about something I was taking Prasadam. And he actually, he was not at all, you know, critical or anything. He made a very loving some gesture. And immediately the first thought came in my mind. It was like a casual conversation, but it actually made me think deep, you know. I immediately made a point, you know. Hey, you are being judgmental. You know, very playfully we made the comment. But somewhere in my heart I was thinking, this man is being judgmental, you know. So the point is, later on I realized, you know, he was so lovingly thinking something or casual, and immediately I passed his judgment. You are wearing red glasses, you see everything red color. Some people are so innocent in how they perform bhakti. And sometimes I was thinking, how much not to be critical? It's a challenge, especially when you're playing the role of a teacher or a preacher. Because in one sense, if you read Bhagavad Gita, Anudvega Karam Vakyam, Satyam Priyam Hitam, you should speak non-agitating. And somewhere in the purport, he writes that you should not criticize, I'm just paraphrasing, somebody who is not your student. A teacher can chastise his student. Like Gorgopal, I remember, I used to hear from him, you know, when you have the right to find the fault. Is to say some three questions or something you should ask. Are you the right person? Is this the right time? What else? I don't know. Is it beneficial? Yes. So I was thinking, as a teacher, sometimes there's a duty of the teacher to make sure the disciple's intelligence does not get diverted by the intelligence of mere boys. By the words of mere boys of the outside world. But then I was reflecting two incidents in scriptures. Because personally I have this experience. Sometimes in the mood of correcting also, later on you realize, hey, I was being judgmental. There was nothing wrong actually. There was such innocence in the practice. But then I was reflecting on the great souls platform, this example of Shamanand Pandit and his spiritual master, Hriday Chaitanya. Right? Now here Shamanand Pandit is initiated, he is given a name, Dukhi Krishnadas. Right? That's the name. Now here he is performing his devotional service, such lovingly. And imagine Srimati Radharani personally blesses Shamanand Pandit and blesses with a special mark, and his name turns into another name, and the spiritual master gets all the misunderstanding about it, that hey, this is what you have studied, a new thing only, you got Diksha from me, you got... And apparently he starts chastising him that as if he is diverted. And later on, of course, the whole misunderstanding. So that was diversion. It was not diversion, but his spiritual master kind of chastises him. And same thing happens between Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami. When Jiva Goswami, in the mood of protecting the prestige, the honor of the Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, he lands up having a debate and defeating this great scholar. So that he doesn't go everywhere saying that, oh, I have defeated Rupa Goswami, I have defeated. No, he does with such pure love towards spiritual master, but his love is misunderstood, and Rupa Goswami chastises him, not misunderstood, I would say. It's amazing how these great souls, from a very, very pure mentality, they are not judgmental like a conditioned soul is judgmental. They are not judgmental like conditioned soul is always seeing fault only, like we say, housefly, always looking at the fault, always sitting at a dirty place. They are the pure liberated souls with a desire to set an example for the society, for what a disciple should be. What are the principles of humility? What are the principles of surrender to spiritual master? Such wonderful pastime is taking place. But the same pastime, when we see in our life such kind of incidents, either it is with equals or sometimes with seniors or with subordinates, it is so important to be careful before finding a fault, whether it is my red glasses which is making me seeing everything red, or it is really a fault. Like I was doing this course in Nectar of Devotion in the Bhaktivedanta Hospital last 3 days. And one devotee mentioned a nice thing. He said, therefore never pass a comment or a judgment alone. Always have a committee to decide whether the person is really diverted or person is, it's your intelligence which is diverted. Whether you are being judgmental. But for a conditioned soul, it is natural that as soon as you see something, we judge based on our preconceived notions. And the most interesting thing is, the whole concept of, you say, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the whole preaching science, it teaches us not to judge a person, but right in the beginning, see a person as a pure servant of Krishna. There is no preconceived notions one should carry, like a statement. You see, what is that verse? Krishna Prem dormant in the heart. Nitya Siddha Krishna Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddh Chitte Karayodai or Jeeva Krishna Das. The first thing they help us to see is that Jeeva is Krishna Das. I remember Radhanand Maharaj, one old lecture I was hearing. And I was surprised. That statement I repeated in so many classes because I just liked it so much. He started the class about Hitler. He said, Hitler, such a pure soul. And I was wondering, what is he saying? Hitler is a pure soul? He says, Hitler, such a pure soul. But he just got covered by, he mentioned, either some anarthas or lust or envy. And I was thinking, when sometimes we have to preach, we say, such a dirty soul. Somehow this dirtiness has to be cleansed. But this is a different way. So this means right in the beginning, you have removed all preconceived notions that this person is dirty, he is contaminated. First thing, he is a pure soul, servant of Krishna. And okay, let's start from there. And therefore, such people can actually fan the spark very nicely because they only see the good things. That's how we see Nityanand Prabhu's pastimes. he could see good thing, and therefore he could reach the most fallen souls, the most low class people, people who nobody could ever think. You know, sometimes when we start preaching, sometimes this doubt comes, you know, people, are they really going to take up to this process of chanting of Hare Krishna? Is the ISKCON really going to work? Sometimes people say, hey, do not talk about chanting too much, you know, we have no idea whether they will chant or not, so just forget it. You will reduce your audience by talking about chanting. And then actually thought comes that, wow, Prabhupada did a great job. Prabhupada could have compromised. Because when you compromise, like I was talking to one of the devotees, this forget the 16 round, make the rule of Diksha, 4 rounds. Easy was like, preaching. Just jokingly, of course, I didn't mean it, but what was the point I was... Yeah, so if you see all dirtiness, you say, it's not possible. But then we have places in Bhagavatam, like Kirat, Hunandr, Pulind, Pulkash, all kind of lower species, if they get the dust of a pure devotee, they can be purified to the highest Vaishnava. That gives you faith. Oh, this process works. The point is, preacher should have faith. So then what happens? While preaching, if somebody does not see that spark, one only sees the negativity. Because one's own heart is filled with negativity, one cannot preach. So one has to see that part and parcel of Krishna, and his own faith in Krishna has to be there. Yes, this process will work. Chanting Hare Krishna will work. Kirtan will work. Bhagavatam will purify a person. And that's what Srila Prabhupada said. I am not going to West. Srimad Bhagavatam is going to West. And I am just going as a humble servant. That's a statement only a realized person can speak. That this is something which is going to change people's heart. Because naturally when we start preaching and we think we are going to change, it seems such a difficult task. In the 10 offenses of the holy name, the 9th offense is to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. And I was reading one by one, what is the remedy for each offense? It is described that to instruct a faithless person, if you keep instructing a faithless person and accept such a disciple, what happens? Slowly, it's written there, slowly but surely, the spiritual master will lose his own potency. That's like, wow, that's powerful. So therefore, one should be careful not to accept unqualified person. But then everybody is unqualified. Who is faithful? In one sense, of course, most are innocent, faith very less or faith less. But, so there is a challenge. And then in the process, what happens? Sometimes while preaching, one starts getting a doubt on the process. And one's own intelligence starts getting diverted by too much intermingling with people of less faith. So here, Shishupal is mentioning, intelligence of wise elders has now become diverted by the words of a mere boy. Every minute, intelligence is under the attack of diversion. Every minute, what real bhakti is? Every minute. The 8th offense of the holy name. Sorry, 7th offense. What is the 7th offense? To commit sinful activities. To commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Now there Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that the sinful propensities, the sinful tendencies which tend to come again in a sadhaka's life, and when it comes again and again, one tends to justify holy name will purify. And I would say 99.9% cases, I don't know, it's too much of an overestimation. A sadhaka would feel the impulse or the pressure of sinful propensity coming again in the heart. Like the example of Shakatasura is given. That this demon is compared to the old and the new habits. Old habits, which one carried before becoming a devotee, suddenly come back after many, many years of practice. Or during the practice, one develops many offensive habits, thinking that holy name will purify. Holy name will take care. So to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name is the seventh offense. And these tendencies of sinful habits, of giving up to diversions, developing laxity in one's practice, like Raghunath Maharaj mentioned this in the lecture, he says, new habits, like while chanting, playing with them. So I think in computer or mobile, something he mentions. There's something called, email, yeah. Oh, you heard that. Yeah, email. So responding to email. So I think this lecture was given when only emails were there. But now we have the biggest demon, WhatsApp, with us, which really takes us through all our 16 rounds very comfortably. Isn't it? I mean, it's really, we were discussing in Mira Road that how it actually, right in the 4 o'clock in the morning, you set a big, sometimes this phone is the next thing. You place alarm also in the phone. So naturally, the phone is the first thing you pick up. And as soon as you pick up, and I thought without SIM, it doesn't give WhatsApp. So one day I removed the SIM and threw it. I said, forget it. This WhatsApp is too disturbing. And then I was sitting in the office and suddenly the WhatsApp message popped up. How is that? So then I realized, any Wi-Fi signal, it just comes up. And then, 4 o'clock, you start that. And then you thought, okay, just 1 minute before taking bath, I will look at it and then done. And then you do one message, another message, another message, half an hour gone. Or during chanting, just one message. And you open that and then you're half an hour gone. And then it becomes a habit. And so many devotees have shared, this becomes a habit and it kills us like a highway robber. He explains, it's like a highway robber. I like that word, you're on the highway alone. You're coming from Nasik to Wada. And there's one road, 100 kilometers. You don't find even a single car there at night. Anyone who you have gone this zigzag road? It comes from Nasik to Palghar side and then you come by the highway to Wada. Like this and like this and like this and like this and like this. And we started in the evening around 6 o'clock. And till 9 o'clock, we didn't find even a single car. In our car, we were like driving like kings of the road. And all these trees and forest around us. And we were enjoying the ride. Wow, enjoying the ride. You would feel like king. But then we were discussing, imagine if some highway robber comes and attacks you. You are going all king size. King, style. And the driving was also fun, the fun was driving. At one point I thought, let all of us drive, it's fun, like this and like this and like this and like this. And it was like really, nice ride, sitting in the astral world or somewhere, And imagine in this nice ride, when your kleshagni has taken place and your shubhada, everything is so auspicious and you are just floating in the waves of bliss and the distress is going down and all wonderful facilities are there, tarang rangini, pride, adoration and distinction, iPad is with you. You know what is iPad? PAD, pride, adoration and distinction. You are carrying that. So you are like a king on the road. And then it becomes such a journey that you forget any highway robber come and steal any time. And all these new habits, I was thinking old habits are there, which we know they are bad. But new habits can be really bad, because in the name of services, everything is justified. It's such a demon, the smartphone. Of course, if properly used, still, it's a big trap. It's a big trap. It's so difficult to tell people to chant because they don't come out of their smartphones. And then they say, we have no time. 50% of the time spent on that stupid machine. New habits develop. Shakatasur. And then what? So as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when these sinful habits attack us, after long practice, what you should do? You are alone. And you are enjoying the tarangs, the taranginis. What you should do? You should shout for the help of a pure devotee. So be sure this is going to come. For some have already experienced, some will experience the jerks. Okay, the jerks. Because intelligence will be diverted by the words of a mere boy. And then we'll make judgments and aparads. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings another song. अनादि कर्म फले पोड़ी भवार नव जले तरी बारे ना देखी उपाय नसी से अनादि कर्म फले. हाउ मेनी फ्रुएटिव एक्टिविटीज आर हैंगिंग अराउंड अवर नेक लाइक अ नूज. Every time you come out of the daldal and it sucks you again. In two forces. Jnana and karma. Jnana karma thagadui more pratariyaloi avasheshe fele sindhu jale. This is jnana karma and thagadui. What are these thagadui? These are two robbers. Right? Thug is about robbers. Oh, it's written there. Highway robbers. Favorite word, you know. Highway robbers, especially if they come on a Nasikwala road. Peaceful, you are floating in happiness. You have no idea that your heart is already robbed. Somebody has already chura liya. You know, your heart is stolen. Then what? What you should do? What is this jnana and karma? Where one forgets what are the principles of real bhakti, what are the principles of real surrender, based on one's jnana, one's mundane logic. Like we went to this South India temple, I mean nothing, we should not judge anyone because we don't know what emotions they are speaking from. You know, like Madhavendra Puri's disciple, what is his name? Ramachandra Puri, right? No, Madhavendra Puri's pure devotional sentiments were misunderstood by a mundane sentiment by Ramachandra Puri. So I was thinking, wow, that's interesting. Sometimes you will find pure devotees lamenting, getting angry and whatever. That may be out of like real pure devotion. And one may misjudge, hey, see, this is a material platform. But still, to see another side of the picture, this pujari in South India. So I had one foreigner with me, one foreigner devotee, one Western body devotee. And I took him to this temple. And we entered the temple and right in front of the altar. Now, people from different culture, they have no idea how to offer obeisances, how to circumambulate, how to really respect the deity. So he was doing something. And right from inside the puja room, inside the altar, he started screaming and yelling. You are not supposed to do like this before the deity. You are supposed to behave properly before the deity. And he was so heavy. And I was so scared. Main isko leke aaya hu, pata nahi mere ko utha ke bahar phenk denge. Because I was sitting there actually chanting. I thought, okay, today I will chant, you know, 64 rounds, 8-10 hours, just bliss. And suddenly I thought, oh my God, my this wonderful atmosphere is in danger now. They are going to throw me out. And it was a great place, very spiritually potent. And this pujari got, and I was thinking, this man is telling that you should not do this in front of the deity and you should not do this in front of the deity. But there is another statement. You should not chastise anyone in front of the deity. What about that? Again, I would say one side is one should not judge. We don't know what emotions he is speaking. Fine. But then sometimes we see in the name of all the vidhi, vidhan, all the rituals, we become harsh and start chastising. Oh, you should not do this, you should not do this, you should not do this. Because our past logic is based on our past conditionings, our 15-20 years, we have thought life should be like this. And then suddenly in bhakti you have to adjust your conceptions, adjust your preconceived notions. And what is the ultimate rule? You should please Krishna. If for pleasing Krishna, you have to accommodate people, accommodate. If for pleasing Krishna, you have to chastise. It depends on what pleases Krishna. Like a simple example, Srila Prabhupada came to Bombay after I think the whole time in America. And I think it was near Marine Lines, near one of the stadiums, if I correctly remember the story. He sent his devotees for Harinam. And they were all doing Harinam. Now, India first time experiences all these Western people and everyone, you know, dancing on the road. And dancing itself, you know. Like sometimes you go to a new place and suddenly you start dancing on the road. People, devotees also say, hey, log ab majhe hasenge, log mazak udayenge aapke upar. You know? Like one time I was in Rajasthan and it was a small village and then suddenly I said, okay, let's do a kirtan with all the local villagers dancing. And the organizer got so scared. Hey, no, mera naak kat jayega. Kya hai? What is this? People will laugh at it. What is this? Prabhupada did something like that. He said, so people were all dancing, and some people took it so cheaply, they started throwing coins. Paisa mangne ke liye aaye, you know, they are like, or something, I don't know what they mean by that. They were throwing money like that. And they came and reported to Prabhupada, this is what happened. Prabhupada said, stop it, no need to go again. They are not respecting, they are taking it very cheaply. Now on one side, Harinam should be done on the roads. Another example, see Rath Yatra. Rath Yatra should be done. The purpose of Rath, one of the purposes which many senior leaders explain for Rath Yatra is most people do not come to temple. They are not interested in Krishna. So this means Srila Prabhupada made this principle, take Krishna out, take Jagannath out, and conduct Rath Yatras. Jabardasti Bhagavan ka darshan do unko. Jo apni dukan se bahar nahi niklega, uski dukan ke samne le ja aur bolo chalo aarti karo. It was aarti. Because that man has a desire, uski ichha hai, but time somehow, life has become so tight. So Srila Prabhupada said, do Rath Yatras. But the another thing which is there, and recently we are hearing, not so many Rath Yatras. Why? Oh, because it is creating disturbance to whatever, to the traffic or to the police or whatever, permissions are becoming difficult. So okay, few big ones and some small. Now you will say, Rath Yatra is good or Rath Yatra is bad? Depending on the principle. Now if somebody is convinced, Prabhupada said Rath Yatra, this is nonsense. Or somebody say, oh no, Rath Yatra is bad, why you are doing Rath Yatra? This is like getting, this is like Jnana Karma Thagadui. Jnana, your own logics, your own conceptions are so much strangulating you, you cannot adjust according to time, place, circumstance. You have to see what pleases Krishna in a circumstance. So these robbers are always taking us away. What is pleasing? So on one side we have the South Indian Brahmanas who are like, do not do like this in front of the deities and do not do like in front of the deities. Now another extreme we have. So this one side is a very smart mentality, one side is a Sahajiya mentality. You will see these extremes in the North India and South India. See, North India, deity worship, if somebody is not from that background, all the rules of deity worship, one will say, kya jarurat hai iska, just chant the holy name. Rupa Goswami has given all those rules, you know, one should not show back to the deities, one should not do this, one should not do this. And then you will say, what is the need of all this? Just chant the holy name. All these rules are nonsense. This is all a facade of some show. That is another extreme. So our own logic and conceptions steal away from the main conception is pleasing Krishna. If Krishna is pleased by all detailed deity worship, that is important. If Krishna is pleased by accommodating devotees, that is important. Krishna should be pleased. So jnana karma thagadui more prataryaloi. Every minute our conceptions are challenged. We are taken away. What is pleasing to Krishna? Because we are so rigid in our past, what do you say? Past conditioned way of thinking. What is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is pious, what is impious, how institution should be, how institution should not be, how a sadhaka should be. It becomes difficult. Sometimes one temple, you go to another temple, it becomes difficult to accommodate their style of bhakti in our style. One devotee came here. He is from Western, some of the European countries, and he came and he stayed here. He stayed here 2 years. And after 2 years, I don't know, 2 years or what, 1 year, something like that. And he was going back, he was told by his spiritual master, look, now you will not be able to stay in this temple where he came from. He said, now you have to start a new temple only. He said, why? He said, because your whole initial training has taken place in a particular temple. And you are so conditioned to think what bhakti is. How hearing should be, how chanting should be, how book distribution should be. When you will come to another temple, you will find faults. Because you are so conditioned to think in a certain way. You will just say, leader is not following what I learned in that temple. Leader is not doing how that Swami taught. Leader is not doing how this temple president taught. He said, better you only become the president and start a whole new system. Tension finished. point is we get conditioned and we forget, we find difficult to adjust to what is pleasing to Krishna. And our intelligence gets diverted by silly things like that. But if somebody can actually see what is Krishna consciousness, he can actually see the real auspiciousness. Look at this verse now, the last. Of course, I think a whole class can be given on the final verse, but somehow I'll end up speaking on the first verse only. This final verse where Shishupal's words are being adjusted. It's so interesting. Now Shishupal is blaspheming. Full on his blasphemy. What he is looking at Krishna, he cannot handle the envy. This is another feature of envy, that in all auspiciousness, you can't see auspiciousness. Everything is super auspicious. Full Shubhada. And what else? Sandara Nanda Vishesh Atma. Incalculable, intense bliss. But somebody whose heart is covered with envy, they say, where is the bliss? Everything is so inauspicious. Because somebody who is not like this Sahadev and Brahmanas, this thing, you know. Now here Sahadev, right? It's Sahadev only, no? Who is Sahadev is offering the suggestion. Of course, who else? Shri Krishna, it's so clear. He should be offered Agra Puja. And everybody, Jai, Jai, yes, very nice, perfect. And Yudhishthira Maharaj saw. Now Yudhishthira Maharaj also a great leader, you know. Now he could have himself said Krishna, but he didn't go like that. You know, he said, okay, somebody will speak, and then everybody will say Jai, Jai, or apna kaam ho jayega. Isn't it? It's a good facilitator, this is called, you know. So I think Kali Yuga is an age of being facilitators. You just facilitate learning. Facilitate learning, let people learn, do not impose anything. You know, like about chanting also, if you tell someone, chant, 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 how long you can tell. But if the person gets inspired, I have to chant, then it best. You are teaching Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam and you are teaching, you are speaking all kind of commentaries and this and that which is very nourishing and purifying. But if the person doesn't even have a drop of realization, it all goes above his head. But you make a procedure. He just himself learns. He said, wow, I never realized. This statement is so delicious. You know, it's so delicious, but I'm just making the word. It's so nectarian. Oh, that is, wow, this is nectarian. So instead of becoming a leader, okay, whole life I am going to hold your hand and take you. You make that person a leader. Okay, now you can take care of your bhakti. Why I have to, you know, take care of your bhakti whole life? That is best. There is no like danger, okay, you train that person. So Maharaj Yudhishthira, and then another thing in Kali Yuga, if you take the lead role, if you do not exhibit a servant role, okay, I'm just a servant and will do what is best. Like preaching also, you know, you just have to be an observing servant. Let us see what is best. Is my giving lecture best? Is my just being an assistant best? Is my keeping my mouth fully shut best? Sometimes, you know, people can learn, the leader just keeps his mouth shut. That's another beautiful thing, which I think takes a lot of practice and purification to learn that aspect. Isn't it? That's another thing. I remember we were in the teacher's training course and we were told, sometimes the teacher has to just learn to keep his mouth shut. Of course, not that one should not speak Bhagavatam classes, but sometimes too much speaking will also not help. And what happens when the leader takes too much of a prominent role, what happens? Only thing is become the target of envy. Why you have to make all the decisions? Why we should follow you? And, you know, this is one thing which we do in teacher's training course. It is something called as whole class discussion. And it was mentioned there that whole class discussion is a very good tool to change the tough opinions. And I was thinking, wow, this is working here. How tough opinions? Some people have tough opinions. No, it should be done like that. Some say it should be done like that. And if the leader says, no, 90% of you are bad, it should be done like this. then everybody will rebel. Who the hell are you? They may not speak, but in the heart, you know, this is too much. This is too much monopoly, and this is a lot of, they are not giving us a chance to speak, and they are not, backbiting will go on. Every time unki chalti hai, why like this? What is whole class discussion, you know? You ask, so what is best? And then one person will speak, who is really on the right track, will speak. And he will make the role of convincing everyone else. Or few, or let's say 50% will speak. One should do like this. And automatically other 50% will realize, I never thought this is a better way. And without you speaking even a single word, the whole opinion changes. Or if 2-3 tough opinions are there, especially it works when there's a lesser tough opinion. You know, when the maximum class is okay, good, but 2-3 are really like rigid. It's difficult to change them. It's really difficult to implement a policy there. Then you just make everyone speak. He will say, hey, everybody is speaking. Like here, Sahadev spoke, everybody. Joy, joy, joy. Yudhishthira said, fine, clear. Everybody agrees. That's the point. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityanand Prabhu also appointed this policy of just being an observant servant. That's all. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's why did not announce himself as God. Because he knows as soon as you show the opulence, people become envious. As soon as you show power, people become envious. As soon as you take everything in your own hand, people become envious. Okay, facilitate as a servant and see the crowd moves in the right direction. And you see, Nityanand Prabhu, whenever he took, his style was unique. Even at one place, Sachi Mata, who can understand the activities of Lord Nityananda? What kind of dresses he would wear? In each of the fingers, he had a gold ring with a special jewel and a pearl. Very special. Cat's eye and this eye and that. What kind of... And then he had a pearl necklace. Not one, few. Then he had a gold necklace. And great garlands, many wonderful garlands made like this. Much better. Like fragrant flowers. Whole body with sandalwood paste. Imagine whole body. You are like really fragrant. Such perfumes you are putting. And the silken turban with varieties of colors, the blue and the red and the yellow, and with all kind of fans coming out of it, and colorful dresses, blue, red, white, yellow, and a armlet, and a gold bracelet, and the silver ankle bells, and a flute and a stick. Imagine if somebody walks into the temple like this. All jazzy thing wearing, and you know, wearing with a whole like a flam. What is the right word? A flam? What is the right word? Yeah. Everybody, sab ki aankhon mein aata hai. Everybody can see. What is this? Is this the way? That's why, you know, in temple one should not go with too much of bright colors. Krishna should be visible. Now, if somebody dresses like deities, you know, let's look. Somebody dresses like that. Imagine if all the brahmacharis come out of the brahmachari ashram dressed like this. It will look funny. Why are you going crazy or what? And why I mention brahmachari is because if you are a preacher, Nityanand Prabhu is a preacher and he comes out in these unique forms. What will come? Naturally, he will attract thieves. And we have a whole story that how all these thieves. A brahmana, who is the best of the thieves, but he is a brahmana. He made a whole gang to attract, to steal all the ornaments. Naturally, you will attract this kind of mentality. But again, who knows why Nityananda did that? Because he specifically targeted such people. Thieves should come, and I will change them, and they will become pure Vaishnavas, and one thief will get 100 thieves. And that's all Nityananda Prabhu did. Converted all thieves and robbers. And at one place it is mentioned, he went to Saptagram. And he was all this, you know, mercantile community was there. He went to each shop, and these people had no interest. But only one person was interested, Udharan Dutt. He was only, you know, Nityanand Prabhu was his life and soul. He was Udharan Dutt's life and soul. Such beautiful relationship. And the blessing on Saptagram was, Udharan Dutt is living there. Otherwise, Nityanand Prabhu would have never come there.
He came there, and by Udharandat's influence, he changed the whole Saptagram into a festival mood. The whole Saptagram became a Nitya Utsav. But the kind of people he was attracting was real materialistic people. Robbers, thieves. At one place it is mentioned he was a murderer. That was Nityanand Prabhu's style of preaching. But one should know, if one is taking a leadership position and not having the real Dasya Bhav in the mood of facilitator, what kind of, you will attract envy. And if you have the potency to purify the envy which Nityanand Prabhu did. And that's why you see, Nitai Pada Kamala, Koti Chandra Sushitala, Je Chaya Jagata Juda, Ahankara Matahoya, Nitai Pada Pasariya, Asatera Satya Kori Mani, Nadiya Godrume Nityanand Mahajan, Amara Agya, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita. He had the potency. Otherwise, the moment you take a leadership role, you attract envy if you do not have the real servitude and the power to purify others. Like that. So one should have very strong sadhana. So like that. So that's the power of Nityanand. He could do that. He could lead all these robbers and convert them into high class Vaishnavas. But I think time is up. We should stop here. Thank you very much for your patient and very encouraging listening. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Please forgive if I spoke anything which was not very appealing or palatable, which was offensive. Hare Krishna.